good-looking beard. There's nothing like a man with a good-looking beard.
Well, welcome to the next iteration of Behind the Beard WNC. This is a podcast where basically four big bags of hot air are friends, and we gather and we talk about, well, about anything. A lot of times, though, it's mostly high school sports, high school football predominantly, but, you know, like we've demonstrated time and time and time again, this whole thing can go off the rails pretty quickly. We're getting going here as football season is just around the corner, and we're getting into our coaches' interview section of the podcast. But before we get into all that, gentlemen, I don't know if y'all noticed in the news last week, they had that legislation or that settlement with the NCAA that just happened. It was like multi-billion dollars with the major conferences. It seemed like that was a stab to keep the big conferences in the NCAA, but now you're going to be allowed to have universities directly pay their players. So amateur athletics, is that over? Now, well, what's up?
Absolutely, it's over. I mean, it's out of control. The whole system's broken and out of control.
I mean, but do you not think that these kids should be getting paid? How many of these kids sacrifice their bodies for 4 years and then don't make it to the next level?
Well, don't they get paid with an education they can use for the rest of their life?
Sure, but I mean, how many of them go back to the dorm and is hungry at that point? I mean, especially in the JUCO leagues and stuff like that. If you've ever, what was that show?
The football show. Last Chance U.
Yeah, Last Chance U. If you ever watch that, several of those kids would go back and they would be hungry or whatever. I mean, if they're getting a little bread on the side, why not allow them to do it?
Well, and I kind of see both sides of this, but my understanding, having read into it a little bit after the decision, it's only going down to Division I FCS. Anything below that is not impacted by this decision at all. But even so, Lewis, your point is well taken. You think about some of these kids that specialize through youth league, middle school, high school, and stand out, and you know they have an opportunity to make money. Because you and I, we all know you can get injured, be done with this thing real quick. I mean, shouldn't they get something? I think they should. But to your point, Mike, you're about the education, the scholarship. That's a very good point. What about, I mean, these major conferences where we all know what's going on? That's the revenue generator. Maybe that's what they do. They're the farm system for the NFL. And hey, if they want to go to college while they're doing their job as a football player, there's no scholarship, but you can certainly enroll in the university and get an education.
Well, even like the top 5% that make it to the NFL, I mean, the average career is like, what, three, four years?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
not for long.
If we extend that to 7 years, right?
Right.
I wish my career lasted 3 years and I retired.
Well, we heard you last pretty short anyway.
Oh.
There you go.
That's first part of the get canceled.
Right, that's fantastic.
So how about the interview with Coach Dinwiddie? It was a great interview last week.
Yeah, I thought it was good to hear him. Good to hear him talk about his program. He had a lot of good thoughts and insights. You know, it's exciting stuff what he's trying to get done over there.
One of the most interesting things about going over there is watching their spring training. And you know, I've obviously been up to Owen and watched theirs, and I've watched a little bit of Reynolds, and then I watched that one. And it's crazy how the different schools do spring training a little bit different.
So that leads into our guest this week.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have the pleasure of having head coach of the Owen Warhorses, John Faircloth.
New head coach.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's new head coach. That's right. This is your first year, Coach. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time to join us on our podcast.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, brand spanking new. Still got the tag on. So, you know.
Welcome to the outer rim of the Owen District here in the Behind the Beard studio.
Yeah. This is this is cool, man. I think this is the first time I've ever been on a podcast, so hopefully I don't embarrass myself too much.
Carson does every week, yeah. So it shouldn't be a big deal.
Because he likes to watch the Hallmark Channel. So.
You got nothing to worry about. Just don't mention any Hallmark movies or the Biltmore Estate or Long Walks on the Beach or anything like that.
Gotcha. No Nicholas Sparks stuff. Gotcha.
So, Coach, start by telling us a little bit about you. You know, where have you been coaching? How'd you get to Owen? Give us the background.
Yeah, sure. So, and I grew up on the eastern part of the state, just outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina, and went to a 3A high school there, rural area, old mill town, you know, and I guess kind of similar to the landscape and makeup of Owen a little bit, you know. Our mill shut down, and you know, we were really looking for an identity, you know, as an area and a town, and really just poured it into our high school, you know, and I was very fortunate to be a part of it. Really enjoyed my high school career. Had a cup of tea at Methodist University in Fayetteville, where I played football, and then transferred over to Mars Hill, which kind of a side story. I was a pretty big lacrosse player in high school, and I was recruited to play lacrosse at Mars Hill. So that's actually how I knew where it was. And honestly, probably should have went to Mars Hill right out of high school, but you know, 18 years old, sometimes you do some dumb things. And so went there, met my wife, and then, you know, we just kind of I always wanted to be a college football coach, so we you know, we chased that a little bit. I was a high school coach in Georgia for a year at a pretty prestige program. This is how bad I wanted to coach college football. I moved to a town called Spearfish, South Dakota, and I made $900 a month.
Wow.
For 9 months.
Wow.
And I did that for 2 years. I slept on an air mattress. Some of my greatest memories were there. You know, we had a 3-bedroom house on Main Street at one point in time. It was 4 guys, 2 girls, 3 dogs, a cat, and 2 goldfish living. And it was, you know, one of the best experiences of my life. And that kind of sent me, I was fortunate. I got a GA spot at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. So I got to coach Division I football for 2 years and then landed at Robert Morris in Pittsburgh for 4 years. And then, you know, I'm trying not to get so long-winded with this, but so I apologize.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Give us all you got.
You know, when COVID hit, and I never want to say, like, COVID was a good thing. Like, I don't want to be quoted as saying that. But for me, personally, it really was, because I sat at home for 4 months and realized, man, I'm a really crappy dad. You know, like 2018, I spent over 100 nights in a hotel room. So, you know, when my time on earth is done, if my maker can say, hey, man, you know, you were there, like, you know, you were a dad, that's the only check mark I needed. So, you know, what place has always felt like home? Western North Carolina. So then it was just trying to find somebody to hire me, because nobody would take me seriously. And I was blessed to land at RS Central down in Rutherford County. No disrespect to Rutherford County. We didn't move back here to live in Rutherford County. So we bought a house on the mountain, and I made about a 50-mile commute one way for, you know, 3 years. And Owen job came open, and as they say, next thing you know, Jed's millionaire, you know. So that's kind of the long version, I guess, of where I've been. So
that's a cool story right there. So you already live in the Owen area?
Yes, sir. Yep. So we bought a house. Kids went to Black Mountain Primary, and so
you knew that job was coming open. I'm just kidding.
Well,
I
think historically speaking, you know, it's coming up in every couple of years.
I'll tell you this, okay? I'll tell you this, and this is not to throw anybody under the bus or be any disrespect. I've applied for this job multiple times and never even got a sorry about your luck email. When it came open the time before this, when Coach Gibson got it, that was the one time I didn't go after it. And that was because I had just gotten to RS. I felt a little bit of loyalty to them. They had kind of given me my start, and I didn't feel right leaving them. But in the back of my mind, I always knew, like, this was the job that if I ever got, like, I was going to delete my resume.
So coming off of, you know, like Coach Ford, there's been four coaches
in 5 years.
Right. So, and your success in RS, it seemed like every year you gained one win, right? What's the long-term outlook for you staying at Owen?
I don't know where else I'd go.
Yeah.
You know, like I've honestly been asked that question several times, and rightfully so, right? Like, you know, there's some stability stuff that's been going on here in the Valley, And so I, you know, I understand why people are asking that. But I can't sit here and say, you know, I'm going to be here for 30 years and I've only been here for 3 months, right? Like, you know, like, you know, they're going to have to see it. People are going to have to see that. Right. And so I don't want to be this guy who's, you know, selling you all these bells and whistles. But the most realist, honest answer I can give you, I don't know where I'd go, you know? Now, if Mike Tomlin called me this afternoon,
yeah,
I'm sorry. You know, that's a little bit different. But, you know, I've had opportunities to get back into the college game. My wife doesn't want to move. You know, had an opportunity here or there. You know, not to brag, but, like, you know, I know some people. Like, you know, I've been around a good bit. And, you know, I had some opportunities to go to Georgia and South Carolina and, you know, a friend of mine who I coached college ball with, he's out of high school in Florida. He's like, hey, come, you know, I live on a condo at the beach and I work at this high school. Like, just come coach D-line. And, you know, like, this is where we want to be. I don't know where I'd go. It's not like, you know, there's not like a laundry list of other places. You know, I've been on a field with Nick Saban before. I've coached in bowl games. I've coached a game in Hawaii. You know, I've been to 40 states. You know, I've worked at OTAs for the Steelers. Like, you know, I've checked a lot of boxes in my life, you know, and I think that part's in the past. And I just want to be a dad, man. I want to be a dad. I want to be a husband. And God has given me this platform that is football, you know, and I don't know what else I'd do. So that's the best, like, way I can answer that question. I hope it does.
Now, your wife is from the area too?
My wife is from New Hampshire.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so she just loves the area.
Well, she went to Morris Hill as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So my wife, when my wife was in the eighth grade, she did one of those, like, online, like, hey, this is where you should go to college test or whatever.
Yeah.
And Morris Hill was her number one choice. So she had a cousin living in Tennessee. Came down to visit. They drove over, saw the campus. She never applied to another school. She knew from the time she was in eighth grade that's where she wanted to go to school.
Wow.
Do you guys remember about 3 or 4 years ago was the NFL draft? The last guy picked was from Mars Hill?
Yes.
And all the announcers were like, where is Mars Hill?
Denzel Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Denzel, man, great dude. He wound up having a solid 6-7 year NFL career. And great dude, you know, and I was around Denzel for a year. And it's so funny. Like, people can say, oh, that guy's 6'6", 350. But until you see what 6'6", 350 looks like, you don't really know what that is. And then a guy who's just freakishly athletic. I mean, we couldn't put him in a helmet the first 3 days. We had to order him a helmet. His head wouldn't fit a single helmet at Mars Hill.
Wow.
And, you know, great dude, man. Just, you know, so happy that a bunch of positive stuff happened.
That was obviously before the portal, right?
Yes, but it's a long track story on how he actually went to NC State.
Did he? Okay, I was going to ask. Yeah. My question was, where, if the portal would have been a thing, where could he have strapped it up at?
And I don't want my name thrown on this. I think there was something that went on at NC State, whatever it was, academics or whatnot. I don't know. For whatever reason, he wasn't at NC State no more. And I believe, you know, Coach Surratt over there at Mars Hill, he recruited the Gaffney area. And I think he just caught wind that, hey, Denzel's sitting at the house looking for a place to play. And, like, hey, we got a place.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that was so sweet to be a part of that year, too, because, you know, we had John Rick, who – Mark Rick, head coach at Georgia and Miami. His oldest son was our quarterback. Our running back, you know, was a Harlan Hill Trophy winner, Division II Heisman Trophy. And we were loaded on defense. We had like 8 or 9 seniors on defense. I mean, it was by far like one of the most fun football teams I've ever been a part of.
What position did you play?
So I played linebacker and a little bit of fullback when I was at Methodist, you know, and then I was a student assistant for – my time at Mars Hill. So
four coaches in 5 years at Owen. I know you've only been there a few months. Why do you think there's so much turnover?
I don't know. You know, it's, I could sit here and we could speculate. We'd probably have another two-hour podcast on that. But, you know, I don't have that answer, you know, and I don't live in other people's houses, so I don't know what, you know, I don't know what their personal stuff is, you know, going on with them. But all I know is it's my job now, and to me that's all that matters, you know, and we'll figure out the rest later.
So the last 2 years, one win and then two wins. What do you think this season looks like?
Oh, man, I don't have that crystal ball, you know. I will say this. I was telling the kids this the other day, actually. I'm caught somewhere between optimism and realism. You know, like what's realistic. But at the same time, like I'm very encouraged with what we're doing. Like I can see the kids getting better. I can see, you know, weight going up. I can, you know, you can see the progress. And I have not mentioned winning to them one time. And I've done that on purpose. And for anybody that listens to this, anyone that wants to get into coaching, get a psychology degree.
Definitely.
Like, wow. Get a psychology degree. If I could go back and have a conversation with the 18-year-old version of myself, look, like, you can do whatever, but get a psychology degree. Because, you know, trying to get these guys to see not necessarily the big picture, you know. I'll tell you, if we got time for this little short story, this kind of sums up what I'm preaching to these guys right now. During COVID, so I'm notorious for getting caught into random shows, like rabbit holes, if you will. And I got caught on this show on Mount Everest. just random, and I got hooked on it, right? Like, I'm watching seasons and seasons of this show on Mount Everest. And I'm watching these journeys hiking Mount Everest, and there's this one guy on there who is like his eighth time trying to hike Mount Everest. And in one of the little like interviews that they're doing, like, what do you do, like, when you're preparing to try to hike Mount Everest? Because obviously he had succeeded before, but he had failed a bunch of times. He's like, I just think about putting one foot in front of the other. Like, that's it. Like, right. I don't think about climbing Mount Everest. I don't think about the weather. I don't think about all the bad stuff that could happen. I just, can I put another foot in front of the other? And boom, right? Like, so I've kind of ran with that, especially in the position that we're in, where, you know, everything's about, you know, can we get better this practice than we were last practice? Can we get a first down? Can we make somebody punt? You know, can we control the turnovers? Can we not have self-inflicting penalties? I have not told those guys one time that we're going to win a game, and I've not told them one time that we're going to lose a game, because that's a big picture, right? Like, if I go in there, and no disrespect to any coach that does this, but if I go in there preaching conference championship, and we go out and lose the draw in our first conference game, well, what about the other five? What are we going to do? We still got five more games to play.
Right.
You know, so it's just trying to get them to see that little – those little progresses, you know. Like, and that's why I say a psychology degree, man.
You know, and we talk about it. I coach a much, much less fun sport, baseball. But we talk about how it's a, you know, it's a 40-year commitment to coaching these kids, to where, and I can just see by the look in your eyes where it's, you're not coaching them just for that, you know, that one win this fall. It's like, you want to make an impact, you know, you want to make an impact and have them be able to, you know, we tell our kids, we want you guys to be able to call us 40 years from now. You need something. But the psychology degree, it's, you know, as playing college baseball, being around guys that have played in the major leagues, everything in between, to guys that played in adult league baseball over here at Bob Lewis, it's not how much you know in your brain. It's how much you can connect, what you can get out of your individual kids. And I think the small steps and, you know, having your foot right, it's with baseball. It's like, if we sit here and say, hey guys, we're going to win a conference championship, it's like, Inca baseball gets matched up with Robertson the first conference series every year. So it's like, what happens when Robertson sweeps us?
Yeah.
We're just like, hey, all right, well, we got 18 more games left.
Yeah.
But you know what? We'll just, it's been a good year. Yeah. It's been a good year.
And that's so true. And what you're talking about, you know, the impact on young people. And it's, I love it when people tell me, like, oh, he's a good guy. He's in it for the kids. He's in it for the kids. I want you to show me one coach that ain't in it for the kids. Because if you ain't in it for the kids, what are you doing, bro? Like, I'm telling you, take your coaching stipend and divide it by the time, and it'll depress you.
Right.
So here's how I judge it. Okay? Here's how I judge it. If I don't get invited to your wedding, I didn't do my job. If you've got a guest list of 200 people at your wedding.
That's very true.
And John Fairclough's name doesn't make that top 200 list. I did something wrong, man.
Something wrong. Yeah,
I let
sure.
something down. I didn't have a big enough impact on you. So
that is a.
I mean, that's a good method.
That's a very good method. Yeah. I've not been coaching that long to where I don't think we've had any guys married. But I promise you, the first one we have married, I'll definitely be checking that guest list.
Yeah.
Wow.
What kind of support do you have at Owen from the administration, the booster club, community? You feel like you're well supported over there?
I do, man. I do. I want to, with this public platform, I want to say this. Dawn Rookie is awesome. Like, she.
Who's that?
That's the principal.
The principal.
Okay.
Like, she, right. She is awesome.
You can tell Mike done his homework.
Yeah. Ugh. But she has been great since the moment that she called and offered me the job. She has never once told me that I needed to win X amount of games. She wants coaches in the building. She wants to see us succeed. She has not told me no yet, you know, and hopefully we'll stay on that good side, you know. And but she's been awesome, man, and the boosters are great. I've been able to sit in on a couple booster meetings, and they know what they're doing, and just overall, just have really enjoyed. And I'll tell you, the principals at other schools, man, like, you know, Mr. Mack at the middle school, whatever I need, like, come in during their PE class or whatever, you know, just trying to recruit the middle school a little bit. And, you know, the principals at the primary schools, just like everybody, like, you know, our youth camp that we're putting on, like, they were over the moon about helping out with the youth camp and getting those flyers out to people. So, the support's been great, but I also haven't coached a ball game yet. So we'll see. You know, on August 24th, give me a call and I'll let you know how it's going then.
But you've had some spring practices already and seen the kids a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. We actually went a little bit earlier than a lot of other people did. And if I could, honestly, moving forward, I'll probably go as soon as we get back from Christmas. I like going super early. I always have. I think there's a lot of benefits to it. But, yeah, we wrapped up a couple weeks ago and you know, again, pretty encouraged. So
yeah, well, I mean, you, with your eyes on them in the spring, I mean, are there players right now you can think of that we should be watching out for with Owen next year that got your attention, or what did you see there?
Well, I mean, like, everybody's, you know, having some type of impact. You know, is there one guy that we're going to say, like, we got to hang our hat on this one dude every Friday night? I don't think so. I think we're going to have to get first downs and make people punt by playing as a team, right? But I'll tell you, the offensive playbook's in, the defensive playbook's in. Kids picked it up really great. I'll tell you, my favorite part to being around these young men from Owen is I came in, I said, we're going to run this on offense and this on defense. Not one kid said, well, what about this? What about doing this? Why ain't we going to do this? Kept her mouth shut, said, yes, sir. Learned what we were doing, and here we go. So, you know, that's awesome for me.
Absolutely.
You know.
So how you feeling about numbers out there? I mean, last year was pretty good. I mean, but, you know, I was at every spring practice. So, you know, so far, numbers looking pretty low.
Yeah, and I think that there's – you know, multiple reasons behind that. I've always said I'm going to coach whoever's out there, whether if it's one or 41, you know, we're going to coach who's out there. And, you know, we did. We had some spring days where, you know, we had really good numbers from what I was expecting, and some days where we didn't. And I think that there's a lot of reasons that back that, and I think that that's another thing that's going to take time, right? Like, one thing that I did not do, and I don't know if it's the right way to do it or not, I didn't go beating down the halls and shaking down trees begging kids to come play for me. You know, I want you to want to be a part of this. Like, because when we're going in August and I'm waking your butt up on a Saturday in August to come practice, like, that's a non-negotiable thing, you know? So I want you to be a part of this. So it's welcoming, but, you know, I wasn't going to take Joe the electrician off the street corner just to get my numbers up. You know, I'd rather have 16, 20 kids that I trust and I love and I appreciate, you know, because I've dealt with migraines, and I'm going to tell you, boys, you can go 2-8 with or without migraines. And I have in the past.
Absolutely correct.
I have held on to kids in the past because they were great players or great athletes. And looking back on it was the dumbest thing I could have done because it killed the chemistry. So I'm really happy with where we're at. Do I want more kids? Absolutely. But I feel good about the eighth graders coming up. There's some good athletes in that bunch, you know, kids that have been around, you know. Obviously, at a place like Owen, you got some multiple sport kids, I think. Don't quote me on this. I think 7 of the 10 players on the JV baseball team were football guys, you know, so you got to take that into consideration too. And, you know, let's be honest, like when you don't have success and you don't have stability, like, you know, all right, what makes this guy different? You know, what if I've had 3 negative experiences with a coach, what makes this guy different?
Right.
You know, so I think that stuff's going to take time. So I'm not been out of shape. We're going to have a team. We're, you know, like, you know, like.
I love that answer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you mentioned talking with the support you have from the school. How important is youth league, middle school, and do you plan on working with them to kind of build the program from the ground up?
So the middle school's been awesome. You know, they're right now they're doing some intramural stuff with the sixth graders. That's great. I don't know how public I can go with the middle school head job, but the guy that they're bringing in for that is awesome. Like, that they hit a slam dunk on that hire, and it seems like he's going to have some good assistant coaches around him too.
Did he used to be an assistant head coach or assistant coach at the high school?
I don't know how public I can go with this stuff, but to me, I think the middle school is the most important part. Okay, so hear me out on this. If you're looking at this ladder to success, right? See, y'all are over there jotting down initials and stuff.
That's a future question. Go ahead.
If your youth program is super successful and wins every game, kids are learning, having fun, everything, and then they get to a middle school that stinks, and yep, they got bad coaching and a bad just experience, you're going to lose them.
Sure.
So they don't get to me. Flip it. Your youth program's trash. You got a great middle school program. There's an opportunity to bring those kids back, and they get to you. So in every way you slice it and dice it, to me, the middle school is the most important part. That is hands down the most important part.
I agree completely. And just coming from from my experience with it, I'm not here. I don't want everybody. I don't think everybody should get participation trophies or anything by that stretch of the imagination. But just to put in our listeners' perspective, you know, at Inca Baseball, if you get two kids, if the middle school at Inca keeps 11 baseball players and they cut 8 to 10 baseball players, what does that do for your high school program? It's like, so then you know, one year you may get 3 or 4 kids who, you know, who can all throw and catch, but just to decide a kid's fate by a middle school, I'm not saying you should keep everybody, But middle school is just extremely imperative to where I think these young people, they're not fully done developing. Some of them haven't even started developing when they're in middle school. So, you know, just I know football is even more of a physical sport, but how important middle school is, I think a lot of sports really connect with what you said, Coach.
Yeah, I do, man. I just to have, and that was one thing that I was really blessed at RS with, is I had a really good head coach there who knew what he was doing, who had coached multiple levels of football. And so when I first got to RS, I had four freshmen. I had to cancel a JV program. I didn't have a JV program because I had four freshmen. Unbelievable. I ain't never seen nothing like it a day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and first of all, again, nothing but respect and love for those guys at RS. RS is going to be pretty good next 3-4 years because that middle school gave us 25 freshmen every year that I was there. Like, when you've got 40 kids on your JV team,
yeah,
that's a lot, that's a lot to pick from, you know? Like, and so, you know, those guys are going to – and they've got some talent and, you know, some kids that, you know, that was pretty hard to look in the mirror and say, you're going to walk away from this knowing that they're about to have a good 3-4 year run. But it was all because the structure at the middle school, you know. And so to circle back around to that question, yes, the middle school, the youth program, I want to be as involved as they'll let me be involved. I want to coach one of them. Like, I ain't got no problems, you know, taking a Saturday and coaching, you know, youth league football. Eventually, they're going to be mine anyways. So, go ahead and let me teach them how to block. Let me teach them how to tackle. And, you know, so I want to be as involved as I possibly can. I don't think I can be around those kids enough, truthfully. And, you know, that's what's been so great about the support coming from the middle school right now is they want to see Owen succeed just as much as I do. And so, yeah, come by, come to lunch, come to eighth grade PE, you know, like, yeah, that's awesome. I ain't never had the freedom like that anywhere. So
I know Owen used to be a very, very, very good program, very proud program. And I think the people in the Valley long to be there again. And I think they want to see you succeed.
And the dysfunction from the youth program and the middle school up until a couple years ago, at least the middle school youth program is still very dysfunctional. But, I mean, there definitely needs to be somebody in the Valley that kind of takes control, does some coaching clinics saying, hey, here's the system we're going to run, you know.
Yeah, and I like the people that are with the youth program. I think they got great ideas. And I also... All those people are volunteering. Yep. All those people are doing this out of the goodness of their heart. So I am not going to be the one throwing a stone at anything. You know, like, dagblam, this is a dad who is, you know, works 40-plus hours a week and then coaches three sports because he wants to be part of his kid's life. Like, do your thing, dude. You know, like, that. I think that stuff's great. And that's why I'm saying I want to help. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say good, bad, or indifferent. I just want to help. Just tell me how I can help. I've sat down and been a part of one of their meetings. And, you know, the vision is there. Like, everybody shares the same vision, right? It's like, okay, all right, well, how are we going to execute it? You know, and I think that's the big thing, and that's the question mark now. And, you know, with – youth signups going on right now, you know, and this is me kind of getting on a little bit of a high horse and maybe taking a slight shot that y'all can use here, but you know, at Owen, and this is a pride thing, right? This is the Valley. We have to do everything else everybody else does with half the people, half the resources, half the money.
Yeah, always been that way,
and I love it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I freaking love it.
Yeah.
Man. Like, you know, I'm sitting here and, you know, I'm sitting at a meeting a couple weeks ago and they're like all the youth program at this place, they got, you know, they had 40 kids on this one team. I'm like, good. Let them have 40. You know, like, that's great. Fantastic. As far as I'm concerned, you still only put 11 on the field. But if they want 40, they can have 40. You know,
only play 11.
That's it. That's you right. only play 11 at a time. So if we, you know, but, you know, so we're in this WNC league with a lot of other teams that are much bigger than us. And it's, I think that that obviously produces some obstacles for our youth program. And again, just can't say enough good about the people that stare that straight in the face and, you know, try to make the best of it. And, you know, and we do it top to bottom, you know, like, you know, even in our school system, you know, we're still, we're doing just as much as everybody else. And you know what? We're the Valley, so we're just going to, by God, get tough and get over it and just freaking go to work. That's what we do.
Last year at the Owen Golf Tournament, you know, that happens every year, Coach Ford spoke about one time a local company donated like all the needed fertilizer for the schools, you know, and they had all the pallets laid out there, and each school kind of asked for what they needed. Well, a particular school that Pat's affiliated with, Reynolds, their pallet was like 40 high, whatever, you know, whatever the bag quantity was. Owens had like 5 or 6. So when he got there, he kind of switched the tags around, stole all the fertilizer. And that's kind of the mentality you have to have when you go to Owen, right? Like, you might not get provided the most, but sometimes you just got to take it.
I think you just got to, you know, if you walk into somebody else's kitchen and you didn't get to go grocery shopping and you got to prepare a meal, by God, you just got to get creative sometimes.
Right,
you
know? Exactly.
So, and I think that's what we do in the Valley. I think we just get creative and we're tough and that's just who we are and it ain't ever going to change. And, you know, it is what it is. We just don't have what other people have.
Now, Coach, do you plan on you plan on calling plays? You know, what does your staff look like as far as what do you envision for the? I know that you've not been there as long as you'd like. I think you said 3 months, right?
Something like that.
So what kind of, what are you seeing? What do you expect, you know, have you made any decisions on what this fall might look like?
I still got a lot of stuff up in the air, man. Like, to be honest with you, I mean, there's some things that I'm pretty set in stone. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it, you know, and then there's some other stuff that's flexible, you know. I believe, and I truly, I'll defend this against anybody. When you're the head coach, to me, that means your rear end should be able to coach every position on the field because you're the head coach. You should be able to coordinate all three phases because you're the head coach. So I take pride in that, right? Like, it's my, at the end of the day, it's my system. You know, it's me. You know, nobody's going to put you in the paper if we win or lose, right? They put in the for sale sign in my yard, not yours. So, you know, I think having that open mindset, and honestly, I stole it from Roger Holmes when I was at Dublin, and hopefully Roger won't get too mad at me for saying this, but I did not like working for him. Like, did not. Like, it was brutal. But now that I'm older and I've been around, the man was a genius. And I wish I would have just soaked more of it in. You know, our defensive staff at Dublin was the best defensive staff I could have possibly worked with. Our defense coordinator was Pat Hillis's DB coach at Fresno State. We had a guy on our staff that had GA'd at Oregon in the strength and conditioning program. We had a guy that played at Troy who's actually now the defensive line coach at Georgia State, Jeremy Hawkins, great friend. We had another guy that played at West Georgia. And I'm just talking about the defensive staff. We ain't talking about the offensive staff. All right, so we had that. And then he had little old me in the corner, right? So that was our defensive staff at high school. We had no say in scheme. We had to learn the system. We had to learn the drills. We had to learn all that stuff, right? And you know, Coach Holmes, one day he said, I do that because, first of all, the program is a system. Offense plays off of defense. The strength program played off of what we did. But if this coach leaves, I'm not making 60 kids learn his system. I'm going to make him learn the system for 60 kids, right? So I kind of took that approach, you know, when I got to Owen, that this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this in these three phases. With that kind of in mind, you know, that 8 years from now, if people can watch us play, you know, Austin can come back and watch us play, and he'll be like, oh, man, he's about to call Virginia right now because of this right here. You know, like, so I hope that kind of answers your question. Yeah. But I'm open to any and everything, man. It's really just where's the help needed and, you know, strength of your coaching staff, because I think that's a big part too, you know.
So talking about your coaching staff, you care to run through who you got, who's coming in, what do you got going on this year?
Yeah, so Matt Turner's going to stay on with us. Matt is a staple to the Valley.
Mad Dog.
Yeah, Mad Dog. You know, Coach Slaughter's going to stay on even in his retirement. I don't think that he can stay away from a football field for very long. And Jack has made this transition. So when my first day at Owen, I sat down at my desk and there was a three-ring binder that had my name on it. And as I flipped it, it went from rosters, equipment, what we need to order, inventory list. It had everything, right? And it's been like that since day one. I'll be real with you. If you asked me right now to go find, like, hey, pull out an away jersey and show it to me, I don't know where it's at. Right. I'd have to call Jack.
Yeah, he knows where all that's
at. You know, like, man, I'm just being real. Like,
Did Jack share his nickname?
No.
We all used to call him Shrek. Can you see that?
Jack's my guy. Y'all ain't gonna be talking about Jack with me on this headset.
I love that.
Jack's my guy, man. And so, and then Chris Collins. Chris is our athletic director. Chris is he's coached at Brevard. Played at Roseman, coached at North Buncombe Middle, was the head coach there, I believe, for a little bit. So he's got a football background. There is, and it's not like official, so again, I don't want to get too far, but I am bringing someone else in. That was kind of important to me, was to have somebody that I knew what I wanted to do. You know, somebody that I could yell at that wouldn't, like, you know, start crying or something, you know.
Yeah, so, sometimes you have to coach through somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And so bringing that one in, I'd love to bring one more, but the way that we're going to be structured, so I'm not planning on splitting up like JV varsity, you know, like varsity goes for an hour on offense, then for an hour on defense. I want to keep them all together, and we're all going to do offense the same time. And then we're going to all do special teams at the same time and all do defense at the same time. So really, when you structure it that way, you really only need like 5-6 guys. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't need that staff of 11 people, you know, which is great to have, but there's nothing more annoying than an assistant coach with nothing to do. You know what I mean? Like, that'll really get your gears grinding a little bit. So, so that's what we're looking at right now. You know, there's been some other conversations with some people. But, you know, I'd like to bring one more in just to, you know, have another solid guy. Now, as far as roles and responsibilities, I kind of got it in my mind right now, but I'm not 100% sure. Like, you know, I'm not a square peg round hole kind of guy, you know, like, I don't want to say you're the defense coordinator just to make you feel warm and fuzzy inside, mm-hmm. you know, so we're going to figure out what's going to work best for us. So
Pat often cries when we yell at him too.
I do. Sensitive, especially around you, Mike.
So what are your thoughts on this 8A we're looking at going to next year, Coach? Any thoughts there?
Well, if someone can describe it to me, you know, if someone can, like, actually tell me how it's going to work, I think I'd like it. But
you got to be in scheduling limbo because who knows what your conference is even going to look like.
Yeah, and I've heard multiple different things, right? Personally, don't put my name on it or nothing, but, like, I don't really think it's going to be too much different. Like, you know, especially in Western North Carolina, like, where are we going to go? You know, like, who else is Reynolds going to play? You know, who else is TCU going to play? You know, it ain't like we can go very far that way.
Yeah, they're not going to play a private school, so.
You know, I mean, it's I don't think it's going to be very different. I think you got a couple outliers that are kind of keeping it from being pretty, you know. I know, you know, just looking at ADMs, you know, you got, I think Smokey's ADMs are a little bit lower, and it's like, all right, well, what do you do with Smokey? You know, who are they going to play? You know, who's Polk going to play? You know, like, yeah. That, you know, there's a couple of them, like McDowell, sitting there.
Poor guys. They're probably going to be 7A, and I've seen where we could have three different classes in one conference.
And see, to me, that don't make no sense. Like, why are we doing it then? Yeah. You know, like, it don't make no sense. Like, I'm a very open-minded, logical person, right? Like, the way I see it, if everybody's got an opinion, that's great. That's great. It's my job to figure out which one is the best for Owen High School. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But bring on opinions. But, like, that don't make no sense to me. We're going to have three classifications in one conference, like...
So then you're just at a point where everybody's probably going to make the playoffs anyway.
I mean, that kind of what it felt like a couple of years ago.
Just do away with conferences, play whoever you want, and everybody make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I hate doing this, but Georgia, I thought Georgia had a great model. It was, you know, 8 regions, 8 classifications. If you finished in the top 4, you made the playoffs. I think Florida has a great model. Right, 8 classifications, top 2 in each region, make playoffs. Like, it's pretty easy to me. It's pretty dag-blam cut and dry, you know.
We certainly try to make it as difficult as possible in North Carolina.
Well, I just coach football. I just salute the flag. They tell me what to do, and I salute the flag. You know, they ask me for my opinion, though. I tell them I got an open phone line. So.
So from a listener, I was told to ask you about your name and where it came from.
I mean, what, the faircloth part, I'm
correct.
Assuming?
Yeah.
Honestly, on the eastern part of the state, it's really popular. But when I moved, I never ran into another faircloth. I think I graduated with, like, 8 faircloths. Like, you know, like, yeah, it's a pretty popular name. There's a large Scottish heritage slash there's also a Native American tribe called the Coharies, which is on the eastern part of the state as well, near where I grew up. So faircloth is just kind of one of those common ones in the area. I believe it's a Scottish background. John, well, it's just John, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, my first name's Jonathan, which I haven't been called Jonathan since I was like 7, right? Like, you know, and I spell it. Like, if you ever see the spelling of my name, I've never met another Jonathan that spells it that way. And so, true story, when I was in the hospital being born, I did not leave with the same name that I went in with. So, what? Like, this is some backwoods.
Were you,
like,
born in Madison?
No.
Golly. Wow.
So, actually, my 14-year-old aunt was the one that filled out my birth certificate, and she named me Jonathan, and my mom liked it. She didn't pay attention to the spelling, so I got, like, 11 letters in my name or something like that. But we're just going to go with John, you know?
So how do you spell it?
It's just J-O-H-N, but then you get the A-T-H-O-N at the end. So usually you either have J-O-N
right.
or you have the A-N at the end. Well, we just said screw it, and we put them both together. And, you know, so I believe I'm the only one I've ever met that spells Jonathan that way. So, but if I hear Jonathan, I look over my shoulder for my grandma, you know.
3, 2, 1.
So a couple more questions here, Coach. We talked about 8A. What's your favorite sport other than football?
To watch or to play?
Either one, whatever.
Oh, man. You know, I've always been a big baseball guy. Obviously, I love lacrosse.
That's right. You played lacrosse.
Yeah, love lacrosse. Really like hockey. Big hockey guy, too. When I was a kid, my dad lived outside of Charlotte, and we used to go to Charlotte Checkers games all the time. So I fell in love with hockey at a young age, and I think that's why I picked up lacrosse, because it was pretty similar. But like, there ain't nothing like going to a baseball game.
I don't think you missed a home baseball game this year. I think you were there for at least a little bit of each one.
I tried, right? Like, even if it was for an inning or two, you know, if it was taking tickets or something, I just, you know, being visible. I want people to know, like, you know, I love this place. Like, you know, I'm invested in this place.
Right.
And it's also very hard for me to ask people to come watch me play if I don't go watch them play.
Sure. No, so and people noticed.
So you dagblam right, I went and watched Mamma Mia, yeah. You know, when they were doing it. You know, like that's important. It's important to Owen. So
Pat has a question he likes to ask every guest.
That's true. So every time we have someone come on the podcast, they have to tell us when you were in high school.
What year did you graduate high school?
2008.
Okay.
So when you were in your whole high school career, what was, in your mind, the most prolific or dominant music album?
It would be a CD then.
A CD, that's right. It was a CD then. Sorry, I date to the 70s.
I don't even want to...
You have to say it. Come on.
In non-Pat terms, what was your favorite CD?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's tough because I'm all over the place with music. You're asking me to come up with, like, what was on my playlist?
Yeah, I guess there were playlists in 2008.
He had MP3s by then.
And we didn't have that when I was a kid.
What would have been on? Oh, we burned CDs. I don't know if I can say that because sometimes they weren't exactly.
Did you use Napster?
I can't. I'm not going to self-incriminate myself.
Hey, we made mixtapes back in my youth.
We did, yeah. Off the radio.
Off the radio.
I'll tell you this, okay? The songs that are coming to my head right now, I don't know why, maybe because like one of them was our graduation song, but Nickelback kind of comes to mind.
Indeed.
But like my playlist was all over the place, man. Like I'd come out with some George Thurgood, the first one, and then I might have Trick Daddy on the second one, and you know, like I was all over the place, man. I mean... See, Soldier Boy came out when I was a senior in high school. That got pretty, what do the kids say, fire? That got pretty fire at the time, you know. I've always been a classic rock kind of guy. So Nickelback and Fall Out Boy are the first two that came to my mind when you asked that question.
Nice.
Indeed. That's awesome.
I don't know if people want to admit Nickelback, but, you know.
I didn't think they were all that bad. I think the first Nickelback song I recall ever hearing, and I didn't know that's who they were, was that the Hero song that was at the end of the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
That was the first time I think I ever heard Nickelback.
So my five-year-old son, okay, I don't know if this makes me a good or a bad parent. So right now we're on a big, like, hearty kick in my house. And my son loves the rock version that Hardy did with Nickelback of Truck Bed. And I bet you I have to play that song like 6-7 times a day. And he will just absolutely blast it. And I don't know if that makes me a good parent or a bad parent, you know, that I'm crossing in between Hardy and Nickelback right now. But, you know.
Hey, you're surviving. You've got three kids, man.
Tell me about it.
Pat has one.
I have two.
Oh, yeah.
You do have a daughter. That's right.
I do. Agony.
So, Coach, anything you want to share with us we haven't asked? Anything else you got for us?
No, man. Just, you know, this is great. And, you know, the Valley, it's an awesome place, man. And it's still the same place, you know. I hope that I can make everybody proud. And at the end of the day, it's not about me, right? It's about these kids and having a good experience for these young men and helping to produce better men, better husbands, better fathers. And, like, you know, wins are great, right? Like, I ain't never been in a bad mood after a win. Like, you know, birds chirping Saturday morning, air tastes better, food's better. But, like, you know, don't get wrapped up in me. Like, come support these kids, because I got some good kids, man. I got some really good kids. There ain't a young man on my roster that I wouldn't let walk my kids down an alley. And that just says something about their character. And you can look at them and say, well, they won one game, they won two games, they didn't do this, they did do that. You know what? Them jokers keep showing up. They keep showing up and they keep going to work. So, you know, don't get wrapped up in me. This is fun. You know, we've had a blast doing this. Come out and support my guys. Like, I'm tired of hearing why we can't do it, and I'm ready to start hearing why we can. And why we can is those young men that show up every day and go to work and support this community, and they wear the valley with pride. So, you know, whatever your opinion is of me, that's fine and dandy, but, like, let's not lose sight that it's about those dudes and what they can accomplish. So, you know, just ask for your support for them, man.
Indeed. Well, Coach, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming out and talking to us. We're really grateful.
Yeah, thank you.
We do have one more question.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. So it's vacation time.
Oh, yeah, we have to do the fun question.
The fun question.
Yeah.
It's vacation time, Coach. Do you prefer the beach or the lake? Do football coaches take vacations?
My wife.
My
wife has learned to take the phone away from me. It depends on what I'm doing and who I'm with. If I'm with my family, I'm going to the beach. If it's with my boys, I'm going to a lake. And I'm going to wet a line. And I might not even put any bait on the hook, to be honest with you. I may just sit there and stare at the water, see if I can find a fish, daggum, come get it, you know. So it depends on who I'm with, you know. But.
Lewis, are you a beach or a lake guy?
I mean, my answer is very similar to him, but, I mean, this year we're going on the cruise, me and the boys, and I think a little later we're also, like, going on another beach trip. So, but, I mean, we hit several lakes a week. We've been fishing, like, 4 or 5 days a week since, you know, a couple months ago. And so I would say both, but I prefer the beach probably.
Pat?
Every year since 1977, my family's vacationed on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Love the beach.
And that has, we went to the Outer Banks. I was thinking I was this summer going into my eighth grade year maybe. And that was one of my all-time favorite vacations. And if the head football job at Owen paid me a little more, I would take my family to the Outer Banks.
Well, I'm just saying maybe an 8-9 win season, maybe the community will chip in a little bit.
Can I get an over under? You know? Can we go with an over under on that?
It depends on what a little bit's defined as.
Oh man, yeah. Nah, I don't want to define group by wins and losses.
That's correct.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's me just trying to build a program. Maybe that's me playing psychologist. But you know, they're too good of dudes for me to sit here and say we're going to do X, Y, and Z, or we're not going to do X, Y, and Z. I don't know what we're going to do.
I like the idea of building a program more than getting 8 wins.
Absolutely.
If there's a reason for kids to stay in the Valley instead of transferring to Reynolds or moving out of state, whatever it is, that's way more important than getting 8 wins this year.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, is 8 wins a possibility? It's always a possibility because we play 10, you know. Do we need some things to go our way?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But, you know, got to be a realist too, right? We could go 10-0. We could go 0-10. And, you know, again, I think I've had one kid ask me, how many wins do you think we're going to get? I don't know. That ain't up to me. I don't play no more. I tell you, if I played, you know, and then I start – you know, as you get older, you ran just a little bit faster. that catch was a little bit better. Tackle hit a little bit harder. Oh, yeah. So, but I don't play no more. Like, you know, y'all got to get on board with the big picture and what we're trying to accomplish, how we're trying to accomplish it, and then, yeah, we'll probably have some success, you know.
Mike, what about you on the beach lake?
I'm definitely a beach guy. I'm a Gulf Coast, Pensacola Beach kind of guy.
I was about to say, you know you were going to say Pensacola.
I love that place.
Every year.
Crystal River, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of my all-time favorite places. One of my really good buddies, the head football coach down there. We went down there a couple years ago. Like, if God came down right now and was like, hey, you get a week, like, where are you going? Crystal River, Florida, man. Love it. Awesome spot on the Gulf Coast.
See, I'm not sure I got to turn that job down. On the beach, working, living in a condo.
Let me tell you something. So Cliff Lowry's his name, man. Cliff's a great dude. So I go down there, and we're going. I think we're just going on vacation, right? We're going to go see Cliff. You know, like, I ain't seen him in a while. On the way down, he's like, hey, you interviewing Friday morning? I'm like, all right, man. So I, like, buy a shirt and tie from Walmart, and I'm like, we're going to see what this is about. And, man, just they had on-site daycare for your kids. So, like, if you worked at the school, you got free daycare. Now, I ain't no mathematician, but if you ever cut a check for daycare.
Not cheap. Oh,
yeah. Like, not cheap. Like, that and nail salon. If I could go back and start my career over, I'm either doing daycare or nail salon. But, like, so they had on-site daycare.
That's going to be a good clip for the locker room.
Oh, yeah. Nail salon, especially during prom and homecoming. But, yeah, it was a sweet gig, man. He's just sitting there living his best life, man. I think his hardest decision every day is he going to golf 18 or 36, you know? Is he going to fish onshore or offshore? Just living his best life, coaching football in a great town. So if you have a shot, that's my pitch right there. Yeah. If you want a, you know, not very touristy spot to go just relax, go to Crystal River, Florida, man. Good spot.
Good deal.
Well, thanks for joining us, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you coming out.
Appreciate it.
The series is going to continue. I know we've got we're going to get Coach Laws. We've got
Coach Hines from North Buckham.
Asheville's head coach Radford's coming.
Coach Radford. So, all lined up. Coach Walker later in August.
What about North Buckham?
Coach Hines, yes.
Okay. So tune in. We look forward to continuing it. And good luck to you this season, Coach.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Come down to the Valley. Come check us out this fall. See what we're about, man. I'm about to go check out some 5-6-year-old baseball right now. So go War Horses. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Looking beard. There's